May as well restart with the Mishnah since we didn't get the forecasted anyhow. So we're holding on Chof Vav Omer Beis, the beginning of the new Perek. The Mishnah says, Ad kama Yisroel chayav in the top of the Bechor? How long does Yisroel have to take care of the Bechor, the animal, before he gives it to the Kohen? The doctor, and Rashi explains, actually, the point is that that during that time, he has to keep it, even if he would like to give it to the Kohen earlier and have done with it, he can't, as long because he, because, well, so we're going to say, either because we have a pasuk that implies it, or we said because the Gemara is going to say because you don't want it to be like the Kohen is helping out and then he's getting the Matnas Kohona as a reward.
Right.
That's disrespectful to the Matnas Kohona. And then Rambam gives a reason also that the idea is that, no, you're not lending anything.
Right.
No, the reason is because the Matnas Kohona is supposed to be given the Jeroch Yidula. No. It's not coming back to him. No, because it's supposed to be Gerach Gdula, you're supposed to be given. In fact, the Gemara is going to mention that point later. We're going to mention that point later on. The Gerach Gdula, that the Matnas Kohona is supposed to be given as an honorable thing, and if you give him an animal where he has to take care of it and raise it from infancy, then it's not really so honorable, right? Okay. So how long do you have to take care of it? B'daka Shloshim Yom, a small animal, a sheep or a goat, 30 days. If it's a large animal, an ox, 50 days. Rabbi Yosef says 3 months in the case of a small animal, as we'll see in the Gemara.
30 days.
We'll see. We'll get back to that in the Gemara. But now we're just repeating the Mishnah in order to. Yeah. Okay. If during that time, the 30 or the 50 days, or the 3 months, according to Rabbi Yosef, the Kohen says, give it to me, and I'll continue raising it. Don't give it to him, as well as for the reasons that we said. The imbalmumhu, however, if the animal is a balmum and therefore we're able to shaft it anyway, so the Kohen says to the Yisrael, give it to me because I want to eat it. Mutter, then you're allowed to give it to him because then the point is you're not giving it to him in order to raise. He's not taking over the job of raising it. He's getting it right now in order to be able to use.
So 1 second. Let's say he has two bechoras. One is balmum.
So each one has its own rules. Why should we think? Why would the rules of one?
No, I
don't understand. You're the one that's a tumim, you have to leave and you wait 30 or 50 days and then you give it to the Kohen.
Right.
The one that's a balmum, you can give it if he wants to eat it now, he can eat it now. What does one have to do with the other?
Because you can say, you know what, you want to wait, I have a...
No. Over Shasam Mikdash, also in the time, but by the way, Torah just points out the same thing about 30 and 50 days. You have a similar thing in Bava Metzia when it talks about, which is actually in Rambam Shlosha Prakim a couple of days ago, that if you find an animal, how long do you keep it before you, and take care of it before at this point you have, like, the taking care of it is more than it's worth, and therefore the owner is going to end up suffering a loss because you're entitled to be reimbursed by him for the expenses you spent on it. You have a similar kind of thing, whether it's a month or 3 months. Okay. Anyway. So the Baal Mumin, he says, give it to me because I'm going to eat it now. Mutter over Shas Mikdash, also when the Beth Mikdash is standing, Im Hayatomim, if the Bechor is a Tan, Amaloy, and the Kohen says to the Yisrael, 10 Rakazenu, give it to me because I'm going to go bring it as a Korban and I'm going to eat it now. Also Mutter, then that's also Mutter, because again, the point is, you're not giving it to him in order for him to take over the raising of it, you're taking it where he has an actual purpose that he's going to be doing with it short term, shefting it or bringing it as a Korban and then eating it. Mishnah continues, a b'chor nechol shana b'shana. A b'chor is supposed to be, it has to be eaten within the year of its birth. Ben tam ben balmum, it's true whether it's a tam and it's being brought as a korban, or balmum when it's being shechted and eaten by the korban. Shenema, as the pasuk says, lifnei Hashem alakech, I'll take one shana b'shana. You should eat it before Hashem, shana b'shana, year by year. So we see that it's supposed to be within the year. No mum b'sech shana. So if the animal develops a mum within a year,
why does it have to be... Repeat it. Shana
b'shana. Shana b'shana means year by year. We'll see in the Gemara. There's another thing we're going to learn from that as well. Nozal the mum b'seich shana. So if the animal develops a mum during that year, rashoy l'kayim et b'shnei mes chodesh, you can still continue to keep it for the rest of the 12 months. La'acha yud b'seich chodesh, once the 12 months are up. Then you're only allowed to keep it for up to 30 days. So the Gemara starts off, where do we know this idea that you have 30 days or 50 days for Behemah Daka versus Behemah Gasa. Omer Akana, the Omer Kro, because you have a pasuk, you have two psukim. We mentioned this at the end yesterday, but I'll explain it a little better now. That you have two psukim back to back that say, do not delay your Malayascha and your Dimacha, which is actually on the psukim there explained. And the Gemara is also saying over here, Malayascha means your Bikurim, and Dimacha means your Truma. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is don't delay, bring them beyond the time that you're supposed to. It actually also explains on the psukim, and it's actually it's one of the 613 mitzvahs that you're not supposed to give them out of order. You're supposed to give them in the order first truma, then first bikurim, then truma, etc. But the point is, the pasuk mentions malayascha means your bikurim, so v'dimacha means in your truma. Loisacha, don't delay giving them. Then the pasuk continues, b'chor b'necha titenli, the firstborn of your son you should give me, which is pidyon aben. Then the next pasuk continues, came tasa l'shorcha l'tzaincha, so you should do to your ox and to your sheep, that you should bring it as a carbon. So the Gemara is explaining that the psukim are sort of interleaved. The first part of the one pasuk relates to the first part of the next pasuk, and the second part relates to the second part. B'chor b'necha titenli, the second half of the first pasuk, where it talks about b'chor of a son, which is 30 days, you do pidyon aben when the baby is 30 days old, that relates to Kain Tassel of Soincha. That relates to the Soin, to the sheep that are mentioned second in the next pasuk. Meaning, in other words, we darshin as if it said that B'chor b'necha titenli and Kain Tassel of Soincha, so you should do for your sheep. So just like your baby, you're just like your baby boy, 30 days, and then comes pidyon aben. The same way with the sheep, you keep it for 30 days, and then you give it to the kohen.
We put two parts of.
We put the second half of the one, and the second part, and the second part of the first pasuk together. And malayascha v'dimacha loisacha, when it says don't delay your malayascha, which means your bikurim, and we compare that to kain tassel v'shorcha. Then the beginning of the next pasuk continues, so you should do to your ox. And so bikurim takes place a minimum of 50 days after they start developing, because grain starts ripening around Pesach time. But you don't bring bikurim until Shavuos, as we learned in Menachos. You bring the Shnei Lachem, and only from then on can you bring bikurim. So we see there's the 30 and 50 days respectively. Before we go further with the discussion, actually Tosfos asks the question. Wait a minute, though. You can only bring Bikurim after Shavuos. That means after 50 days of fast. So why are we saying over here? As opposed to over here, or actually, what Tosfos asks is that on the face of it, you could bring Bikurim, and you bring the Shtei Alechem, which is the beginning of Bikurim, you bring it on the 50th day. So why over here are we saying only after 50 days you give it to the Kohen? So there's a variety of different answers that Achronim bring. Among them is maybe in principle you could bring them on Shavuos, but you have a carbon that's supposed to go along with them and not necessarily be bringing that on Shavuos. So in other words, maybe in principle you could bring it on Shavuos, as Tosfos is saying, but practically speaking you don't, for one reason or another.
Or you bring it
the day after Shavuos, let's say. Or maybe even
Shavuos is the 50th day.
It's true. So that's one answer that maybe Tosfos is assuming you could bring them on Shavuos. So first of all, you have some of them, of course, explain. One of the answers is you probably can't bring them on Shavuos. So there's your answer. The same way as you can only bring them after 50 full days have passed. The same way over here, you give it to the client after 50 full days have passed. But you have other answers as well. Maybe technically you could bring it on Shavuos, but in practice they didn't because they were too busy. Yeah, because it's too busy on Shavuos with Orlus Ru'iyah and Shamach Hagiga and whatever different. Also, I mean, Rashi just mentions the point that that the barley ripens Pesach time. So then, okay, we're not necessarily talking related to Sfirah directly. We're talking about 50 days after it ripens, which is sometime during Pesach, is when you start bringing Bikurim after Shavuos. Okay, anyway. So Gemara asks, Epochana, maybe it should be the pashtos. We mean the Shtei Alechem, which are Bikurim. They're the first thing of the grain crop of that year that's being brought as a carbon. As we learned in Menachos, clearly you're not supposed to bring anything else from the new grain crop that year as Menachos, except for the Omer on the second day of Pesach. And after that, people start bringing Bikurim from their fields.
So that's on the 50th day.
That's on or after the 50th day. So the Gemara asks, Epochana, maybe flip it around. Maybe the pasuk is telling you to compare the b'chor to the ox and Bikurim to the sheep. The answer is no. Misdaber demikdam lemikdam demachal ledemachar. No, it's more logical to say what goes earlier in the first pasuk relates to what goes earlier in the second pasuk, and then what goes later in the first pasuk relates to what goes later in the second pasuk. So therefore, yeah. The problem with that is adraba. On the contrary, you should argue disamichlay the disamichlay. Just the opposite. You should argue that what's juxtaposed, what's put next to each other, should go together. Bechor banecha goes right with kain tachal l'sharcha. Bechor banecha, excuse me, is the end of the first pasuk, and kain tachal l'sharcha is the beginning of the second pasuk. So they're right back to back. Maybe those should go together. So that doesn't work. Elo amar Rava, so no, Rava says the reason why it doesn't work to say that you're comparing it like that, the first part of the first pasuk and the first part of the second pasuk and so forth. No, rather Rava says amakra, because the pasuk doesn't say that the pasuk doesn't just say kain l'sharcha. It uses the word tasa. Amakra tasa. The pasuk says you should do. Which means, since the word tasa is next to the word shorcha, kain tasa, l'shorcha, l'sonka, that means for sure there's an extra asiyah. There's an extra doing, there's an extra amount of time that has to pass. So therefore, more than 30. So we're still going to say that we're going to learn sewing from pidyon aben, because by that it doesn't say directly tasa, so therefore we're going to say, fine, whether you want to say that the end of the first pasuk goes with the end of the second pasuk, whatever, so therefore you're going to have 30 days for sewing. And when it comes to shur, fine, you could have, all, how do you know 50? Because the pasuk is telling you that you have tasa, you have an extra amount of time to do it.
How do you know tasa is just 20 days?
Well, that's the question. Maybe then it means altogether 60 days, where you're getting down to 50. The answer is okay. And ultimately, ultimately, the pasuk is telling you that there has to be something extra, but it's not telling you how much, so it left it up to the Chachamim to determine how much it should be. And the Chachamim determined that it should be 50 days. Shitim Gobetis adds his gears of the Gemara had an extra line that the Chachamim figured out that once a baby ox is 50 days old, it doesn't need its mother so much. And similar to the sheep and goats, once they've reached 30 days, they don't. So he also has it in his gears in the Gemara that it can't just be the task that refers to both of them, because then the Chachamim didn't have to mention separately Tzoncha and Sharcha. It could have just said Tzoncha and Hemzacha. The fact that it says them separately, Sharcha and Tzoncha, means that each one has a different amount.
Okay.
But again, ultimately we're saying that because we have the word tasa juxtaposed with shurcha, that means the shur has to have something extra, and how much is the extra left it up to the chachamim to determine when it doesn't.
Okay. Technically, then it could be 40 days?
No, well, it's the chachamim that determine that. The chachamim determine that 50 days is the right amount, because that's when it doesn't need its mother so much. Okay. Tanya Nami Hochi, in fact, we learn like that in the Braisa. The pasuk says the bechor of your sons you should give me, and then the next pasuk continues, so you should do for your sheep. You would think the same thing applies to the ox, that you also give it to the kohen after 30 days. No, tam ablam or tasa. Therefore, the pasuk says tasa, like Rava said,
and the
pasuk therefore
is according to the father or the mother.
Your mother, Pater Erech.
No, but I'm saying for men.
Oh, Bechor of humans, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. We're going to learn in the 8th paragraph that you have actually two different types of Bechor. You have Bechor L'machla, and you have Bechor L'Koyin. Depends whether it's the first born. Bechor L'Koyin is from the mother.
Bechor
L'Machla is from the father. The pasuk therefore is adding an extra asiyah, an extra doing when it comes to your shur, and the braisa continues that ultimately the pasuk is leaving you up to the chachamim to determine how much that asiyah should be, and they figured out on the basis of these sukkim and on the basis of their analysis that it means 30 days for a behemah daka, begasa chamishim yoim, 50 for a behemah gasa. Rabbi Yosi Yom Abedaka Shloish HaKadoshim. Rabbi Yosi says that when it comes to a behemah daka, actually it's not 30 days, but rather 3 months. Because there's a lot more extra work involved in taking care of a sheep or a goat like that. So therefore, in other words, the point is, actually Mephoshim talk about would Rabbi Yosi agree with the limud that we were saying until now? Would he say never mind the limud, we're just going based on logic? But the idea is he's saying that there's a lot of extra work that goes into taking care of a sheep or a goat. So again, the same way as in Bava Metzia, you have the possibility that maybe you have to take care of a lost sheep or goat that you found for 3 months before. Behemoth Akka,
yeah.
Tana, and we learn in a braisa, what's so hard about taking care of a behemoth gasa? Tana, we learn in a brayso of Hamadaka. I mean, Tana, we learn in a brayso of Meshachnei Dakos because it has small teeth and therefore it's harder for it to eat. A Behemagasa, it has large, strong teeth. So therefore, once it's 50 days old, fine, you can turn it out to pasture and it can graze and can eat on its own. On the other hand, a baby sheep or a baby goat, even though it takes time, until it's 3 months old, you have to cut up food for it. You can't just leave it to forage on its own. So that's the end. So the halacha is like the chachamim 30 and 50 days respectively. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi 3 months, but that's what it is. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, im omer akoyin b'seichas man shneili. If the koyin says within the 30 or 50 days, he says, give me the animal and I'll take care of it. Hareza lo yitzimoy. So we said you should not give it to him. So why not? My timer. Omer avsheishas m'kneshin nirak koyin amasayeya b'beit agronis. Because then it has the appearance of a koyin who's helping out in the grain. We've learned about this before. We've learned about this concept before. That I don't remember where exactly. I think we learned it way back in Yevamos, I think, but it comes up here and there. But the idea that you're not allowed, that a koyin is not supposed to be helping out in the granary, for example, he's not supposed to be helping with the harvest or the threshing or whatever, in order that later on, then you'll give him the truma or the maizerish or the maizersheni or what have you. Yeah, it's not respectful. You're supposed to be giving it. Maybe it was sachim. I don't know. But whatever it is, that's the point. It's not. You're not supposed to be koyin amaseyeh bebeis agronis. We learned it also in Cholin, actually, in connection with Zeri l'chayayim b'keiv. Okay. Tana rabbanon. So we learned in a braisa. So let's expand on this topic a little bit. Hakoyinim v'alavim v'haniim. Hakoyinim v'alavim v'haniim. Koyinim and levim. And aniyim, each of them, you're supposed to be giving something. We know truma to the koyin and various other things to the koyin, maizirishin to the levi, maizir oni and various other harvest gifts to the aniyim. Hamasayim beis haroyim, if they help out in the place of the shepherds, where, for example, the koyin might do that in order that the owner. Well, no. So Rashi says specifically we're talking about the koyinim, where they expect to get the bechor as a reward for that. Or in the granary. Now that can apply to any of them because all three of them receive things from the granary, Truma, Maiserishan, and Maiserani, respectively. Or in the slaughterhouse, which is again referring only to the Koyanim, where they come there helping out, expecting to get Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva. All of those, Ein Noisen Lam Truma or Maiser B'Sparan, or we do not give them Truma or Maiser or Matanos, it says on the side over here. We do not give them that as their reward, as their pay. Beim Oisen Kein Chilulu. If you do that, then you Mechalal it. Now, what does Mechalal it mean? So the Rabbi Gershom actually has the expression that literally Hotziu a Truma va Maiser v'Cholin she'en ben din kedusha. You're taking out the Truma and Maiser and making them Cholin. They don't have any kedusha.
If
the Koyim comes and helps out in the granary, for example, and then you give him the Truma, then it's your Mechalal the Truma. So again, Rabbi Gershom says it means actually that literally it means that you're being Mechalal and it doesn't have the kedusha of Truma.
It's not true.
I mean, most of the other Mephoshim disagree with that, and even Rabbeinu Gershom doesn't necessarily mean that it literally has the din of truma that doesn't have the din of truma like a zor could eat it or whatever. Most of the other Mephoshim understand that it just means that you're treating it disrespectfully. It has the din of truma, but you've treated it disrespectfully. Valeim akos of omer about such people. The pasuk says shichatem brit halevi. You've corrupted the covenant of the levi because that's what it's supposed to be. They're supposed to be the levi is supposed to be receiving it recovered. The koyin also, and then the oni also. So therefore, if you do against that, then you're corrupting that brit. But omer, and you also have a pasuk that says kodesh bnei Yisrael lo tachalul lo tamosu. You have a pasuk, the last pasuk of Parshas Korach that says the holy things of bnei Yisrael, you should not profane them and you should not die. So the Gemara says, "Maiva Omer." Why do we need a second pasuk? What are we missing if we only have the first pasuk? Shichatem Brit HaLevi. So because Chitema, because if you only have the first pasuk, you would say Misaloi. You would think maybe a person does that. Okay, he's doing wrong. He's desecrating the bris, etc. But maybe there's no Misa involved. Talmud Lomer Best Kodeshim Bnei Yisrael. Let's Chalul Veloitam Musu. Don't desecrate the Kodeshim of Bnei Yisrael, and you won't die, implying that there's Misa involved. Now again, not necessarily is there literally Misa B'Dei Shemayim involved, because Misa B'Dei Shemayim would be, for example, Hazor Eat Truma, or whatever. But no, what we mean is, in other words, there's a severe punishment Min HaShemayim involved for doing this. Okay.
But we need the two.
So therefore we need the two psukim. One pasuk tells us that by doing this, you're profaning the covenant, you're desecrating the covenant of the Levi. And the other one tells us, then what's the consequences? Well, that the consequences of doing that are that there's mitzvah involved. Okay. And the Braisa continues, ubikshu chachamim l'koin son. Now Tosfos actually says over here, that doesn't mean literally mitzvah. It's not actually listed in Sanhedrin. You have a Mishnah there that lists all of the cases where a person is chayav mitzvah b'shamayim. This isn't on the list. Tosfos says it just means karev hu la'avon mitzvah, close to an avera of mitzvah. It's like the next, thing to it. So therefore, we're like, it's not really mitzvah, but it's a very serious.
Very serious.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. The Braisa continues, ubikshu chachamim l'koin son. The chachamim wanted to penalize such balabakim who have the koyin working for them, for example, and then they give them the truma, v'lias mafrishin aleim truma misholim, and to require the owner to give truma again from their own produce. In other words, that we would say, for example, so the owner took out, so the knas would be, and the chachamim thought to make it, that if you do that, if you had a kohen work for you and then you gave him the 2% of truma, the chachamim thought to penalize the owner and make him take out another 2% and give it to a different kohen, or even to the same kohen, whatever, because then it's not as a schar anymore. But why did the chachamim not go ahead and do that and not penalize them? No. Because then you have a problem that then the owner may mistakenly think that then the owner may mistakenly go and take off truma from something that's potter on something that is chayav. Namely, the first produce that he took out, so Rashi describes, let's say for example, he has two saws of produce, let's say.
Yeah.
One of them is completely tevel, he hadn't taken out truma yet. The other one he took out truma and gave to this kohen who helped out in it. If you're going to tell us that he has to take again because of a knaf, he's going to think that the one from which I took out truma and gave to the koyin amasayeya really is tevel. That would go. That's the only reason why would the chacham be telling me to give truma again. So therefore, it must really be tevel. So therefore, he's going to be taking from that. He's going to take from the same place, right? And on behalf of the other one, and that's no good because the first one is already potter midaraita. It's only chayav midarabanan. The second one is chayav midaraita, and no good.
So when you say it's a chalal, it means it's still truma.
Right, exactly. That's the point.
It counts as truma.
It counts as truma, but the chachamim thought to penalize the owner, but they didn't do that because then it could mislead him into thinking that now he can take from this pile that, right, he might think that this pile that I took from originally is still tevel, and I can take from it on behalf of a different pile, which is also tevel. Yeah. Okay. Tosfos points out, you have a lot of cases where you have the halacha truma v'yachzer v'yitrim. You have a lot of cases where midaraisa, something is valid truma, but midrabanan, we make him take truma again. Why don't we say the same thing, that he's going to think it's tevel, etc. Tosfos says the difference is because in those cases, he knows he gave the first one to the kohen, and he knows he was supposed to give it to the kohen, so therefore he knows already that it's just the chachamim that the second one is didrabanan. So therefore, and even Tosfos says, even let's say he gave it before the chacham told him you have to take truma again. Okay, the fact that the kohen doesn't give him back the first one, he knows. Therefore, obviously the second one must be only dirabanan. But over here, he gave it to the kohen as payment for his work, for his work, and the kohen is keeping it. So it's not so obvious. It's not going to be so obvious to him that he took off truma at all. As far as he's concerned, he just paid the kohen out of it, and that means he never gave anything that was valid truma. If you're telling him to take truma again.
Then the coin would throw it out, wouldn't it?
Why would the coin throw it out?
It's
perfectly good grain. You can eat it. But,
why would you confuse me?
Okay, so again, so you can have like this. You have, let's say, a case, for example, you have different cases where you have truma of a yaks over your term, where something is truma, valid truma, daraisa, but mizir abon, and you have to take again. So let's say, for example, so in those cases, one of two things happens. Either he hadn't given the first one to the kohen yet, and he goes to a chacham, and the chacham tells him you actually have to take truma again. So then he'll know that that's only dirabanan. He'll know.
What do you mean again? He didn't take it the first
time. No, in other words, he took it. He took out 2% or whatever. But, and midaraisa, it's valid truma.
Right.
But midrabanan, for one reason or another, it's not valid truma. You have a variety of cases. Now, we're talking about over here the case where he gave it to a kohen amasayeya. But you have a number of cases. In Masechta Trumas, and in Masechta Trumas, you have a number of cases where truma v'yachzer v'yitrim.
For whatever reason.
Here's the first one that comes up, for example, in Masechta Trumas, for example, the first one that comes up, let's say, is you're not supposed to have. You have let's say olives that have been crushed to get out the oil. You're not supposed to take oil and give it as truma on behalf of those. You're supposed to give oil on behalf of oil and olives. Well, to be exact, actually, what it is these olives that are being pressed, that are in the middle of being pressed, don't give oil on behalf of them. Wait until they're pressed and then give truma from the oil. So let's say he did that. Truma. So now what happens? One of two cases, Tosfos is saying. Either he didn't yet give the first one to the Kohen, and he'll go to a Rav, and the Rav will tell him, actually, the Drabbanan, you have to take another one. So then he'll realize, okay, the second one is only the Drabbanan, and the first one I have to give to the Kohen, and the second one I also have to give to the Kohen, fine, but he'll have given the first one to the Kohen, and then he'll go to a Rav, and the Rav will tell him, actually, you're supposed to take a second one, but okay, he'll say, in that case, then, do I get the first one back from the Kohen? No, he doesn't. So he'll realize the first one really was valid Truma Deraita. So there's no reason for confusion. But over here, where he gave it to the Kohen because he was Mesayaya, he's going to mistakenly think that if the Rav tells him you have to give Truma again, he's going to mistakenly think the first one was not Truma at all. And then he'll have the mistake. He'll make a mistake. That we're saying in the Gemara over here, that'll think it's completely Tevel and he can take Truma from it on behalf of other Tevel.
Because in the first case, you expect to know that it was...
That it was valid Truma Deraita, and it's only invalid Deraita.
Not in this case.
Okay, the Braisa continues. Uvacholam yesh behen tova tanoa labailu. With all of them, With all of them, you have tova tana for the owner. All of them, the pashtus meaning all the things we were mentioning so far, truma and meiser and zuri l'chayayim b'teva, etc. There's all of them. There is tova tana l'bailim, which means, in other words, that the owner first of all is able to give them to whatever kohen or levi or oni he wants, and he's able to have the other people that person can appreciate him for it. But second of all, in all Gemara over here and in many other places, tova tana means actually that you're able to be paid for to give it to a certain person. Ketzad, what does that mean? Yisrael shehikrish truma material. If a Yisrael separates out truma from his pile of grain, umasi Yisrael acher, then another Yisrael meets up with him. But Omer lo, and he says to him, instead of like this, you could give it to any old kohen, but here, heilacha sela zeh, here, I'm going to give you a sela, and because of that, uchneu the ben biti kohen. Because of that, you take your truma, which anyway, you have to give away to a kohen, and give it to my daughter's son, who's a kohen. So you're allowed to do that. That's called Tova Tana. You're allowed to have that benefit that instead of giving it to just any random kohen, you're able to be paid to pick a particular kohen to do it. However, im hoya kohen l'kohen also. But if the person who came to you himself was a kohen and saying I'm giving you a sela and you give it to this other kohen, my grandson, let's say that you're not allowed. That you're not allowed because the first Kohen himself could have had it himself. It's true, he could have taken it. So again, the problem is you're back to Kohen and say, yeah, you're back to the problem that like he's helping out in order to get his matnas going. Okay, fine. Okay. So thus.
So
if a Kohen comes and tells you that, you just tell him, I'm sorry, I can't take your sela. You can take the truma yourself, and if you don't want it, I'll find another Kohen to give it to. Yeah. Okay, so now the question is, thus far the Braisa, except that actually Shita Mukubetes brings a girsa over here. He says Rashi doesn't agree with his girsa, but he brings a girsa that the Braisa continues, that Rav Shimon Elazar says, the same is true with all Matnas Kohuna. This that we said about Tova Tanah L'Bailim. We're saying over here, V'cholon Yeshbehem. Rashi actually learns that V'cholon does not mean all the various matnas kohuna. Rashi learns that it refers specifically to truma and maaser. On the other hand, this girsa of Shita Mukubetes is that yes, the Tanakhama holds that, and then Rav Shimon Elazar says the same is true of all of the matnas kohuna. So the question then in the Gemara is, V'kana my time alekom matnas kohuna. So the Tana of the Braisa, why does he not mention matnas kohuna? Why does he limit it only to truma and maaser? Or according to the Shita Mukubetes girsa, it would be rather, why doesn't the Tanakhama agree with Rav Shimon Elazar and say that this applies to matnas kohuna in general? Why does he limit it only to truma and maaser? The reason is, not maaser really, only truma. Amalach, the answer is, he'll say there's a difference. You are allowed to have Tovah Tanah when it comes to Truma, but not when it comes to the other Matnas Kohuna, because Truma Dekdusha Tagufi, because after all, Truma is one of the types of Matnas Kohuna that has intrinsic Kedusha, that everybody knows once it's Truma, and only a Kohen can eat it, and only when he's Tahar, and so on and so forth. They know there are rules in it. dekiven de la mischala, so therefore it doesn't become cholin. You don't really have a way of you don't really have a way of making truma cholin. I mean, you could go to a rav and
make it
no, tame is different than cholin. If it's tame, you're not allowed to eat it. But the point is, in other words,
well,
it's tame. No, you could burn it and have enough. The kohen can burn it and have enough from it. But the point is, it can't become cholin. Now, right. In other words, people are not going to think. If a Yisrael comes and says, here's a sella, give your truma to my grandson, the Kohen, people are not going to mistakenly think, hey, look at that, he bought the truma, and thereby made it cholin. Because people know that truma cannot be made cholin.
Bought the truma and made it cholin?
People are not going to think that, because people know that truma cannot be made cholin. So therefore, when people see this Yisrael giving the seller to the other Yisrael and saying, here, please give the truma to my grandson, that's not going to lead them to think, hey, you know what, look at that, truma is able to be made cholin, because they know it can't be. So therefore, there's no problem with that. Kiven de l'mischala, since it cannot be made cholin,
people know that.
Therefore, people are not going to mistakenly think that they can treat it like cholin. Hani, whereas when it comes to the other... Yeah. On the other hand, Hani, when it comes to the Ma'as Kahuna, for example, Bechor, or Zroel Chayayim Bekeva, given to Kedusha Damim Ninu, now they only have monetary Kedusha in the sense that once the Kohen has them, the Kohen, as we're going to learn in the next parak, once the Kohen has the Bechor, he's able to sell the meat of it to anybody he wants, even to a Yisrael, even to a Goy, for that matter, we're going to talk about that.
He didn't eat any of it?
Yeah. Same thing with Zroel Chayayim Bekeva, as we learned in Cholin, it is considered Cholin. So therefore, they themselves have no intrinsic Kedusha once the Kohen gets them. Therefore, Osil Mitzi Bahoin, therefore, you might end up making a mistake with them, and if people are going to see, and people are going to think, Debar Mitzcha Kedusha Sayo Arbalzazi, or Debar, or some a number of the Mephoshim change the Girsa to Sovar, that he's going to think, whatever, Debar Mitzcha Kedusha Sayo Arbalzazi, they're going to think that these are things that are capable of becoming Cholin by means of Fuzuzim, which is a Sela, or the other Girsa Sovar Mitzcha Kedusha Sayo Arbalzazi, they're going to think that it can be that the Cholin, that the kedusha can be taken off with fuzuzim, but also the minig behind minig the cholin, and then the result is people are going to treat the bechor or the zroel chayay bekeva carelessly. Now, what do we mean? We're going to treat them carelessly as cholin, meaning, in other words, Rashi says that we learned in cholin that the matnas kahuna are supposed to be eaten roasted and with mustard, sliu v'chargo, because that's what. We learned about Zroel Chayayim Bekeva, but it applies also to Bechor, other things being equal. We learned over there, if the Kohen prefers it prepared a different way, he's allowed to, but other things being equal, if he doesn't particularly care, then that's the preferable way to do it. So like this, the Tana of our Breiser, or the Tana Kama, according to the Shita Mukubetsu Zegirsa, does not want to say that this din about a Yisrael giving a Sela and saying, give it to my grandson, he will say it only applies to Truma, it will not apply to Bechor, it will not apply to Zroel Chayayim Bekeva, because we don't want people to mistakenly think that those can become Kolin. And then they're going to treat them carelessly.
The Bechor
after it's shechted, Truma people know cannot become Kohen, as opposed to Bechor and Zroel Chayayim Bekeva. The very fact that the Kohen is allowed to sell them, and he himself doesn't have to eat all of them, is going to make people think there's no special status to them at all, and you can do with them whatever you want, and you're going to be misled to not eat them big dula. You know, Truma, exactly. There's no way to make Truma whole.
You cannot even give it to a lady.
That's also true, right? By the way, Tosfos says, on the flip side, when it comes to Truma, we never find this concept that it has to be eaten with Dula. And Tosfos says, apparently the reason might be, maybe this concept of Dula, of eating it a certain way, the way kings eat, maybe that only applies to meat. Truma, there's no such thing as Truma of meat. So therefore, maybe it's not applicable.
You wouldn't say that you eat Truma like Dula?
No, there's no particular way that you're supposed to. No, I mean, yeah, obviously, but there's no particular way that you're supposed to prepare it. As opposed to the other things, ideally you prepare them sliu v'chargal. The bechor and then zerel chayam v'chargal. Okay, so that's the point. Therefore, that's why the Tana Kama would say that. With that said, by the way, that Rambam understands that the din of Torah Sanol Abaylam does apply to all the Matnas Kahuna, which of course leads to the question: what is he doing with our Gemara over here? There's a couple of answers.
Meaning that
a Yisrael can go to another Yisrael and say, here's a Sela, give your Zroel Chayayim Bekeva to my grandson, the Kohen. Where our Gemara seems to be implying that you can't do that. Yeah, you can't do that. You can only do that by Truma, where there's no possibility of people thinking that Truma can become Cholin. So what is the Rambam doing with our Gemara? So there's a couple of answers. One answer the Beis Yosef gives is maybe the Rambam understands that this Gemara is only according to Beis Shammai, who learns in the next Terek that the meat of the Bechor can only be eaten by Koyanim, whereas the Halacha is like the civil that it can be eaten by anyone. A number of Achronim point out instead a different answer, that there's a Mishnah and a Gemara and Erechin that implies that this idea of Tovus Hanah does apply to the Bechor and to Zeruah L'Chayayim B'Keva as well.
Is it proper that when a Kohen gets, let's say, a Bechor and he wants to give it away, he gives it away, take it. Is it proper or not?
I don't know if it's proper, but he's allowed to, right? Yeah. We're going to learn about that in the next page. Let's go on. Okay, Omar Rabba. So since we're talking about Truma, let's talk a little more about Truma and talk about dinim with it.
Nice.
Truma, schut v'la aret. First of all, a din that directly relates to what we were talking about. Truma, schut v'la aret. This whole concept that we were talking about, that you can't give truma to a kohen who helped out in the granary, that does not apply to truma that's given in Chutz La'aretz. Now you have there's a concept midaraisa, of course, truma and ma'aser and all these other things apply only in Eretz Yisrael. But you have midrabbanan, you give truma outside of Eretz Yisrael. There were two stages in it. There's Mishnah and Yodayim that mentions there was a takana. There's the takana of the Nevi'im right after the first Korban, that you take Truma and Ma'aser in Bavel, because most of the Jews were in Bavel at that point. Later on, the Chachamim, maybe the Anshei Knesset Gedola, maybe some later Chachamim, I don't know, made another takana that you also give it in Ammon and Moab and other countries near Eretz Yisrael.
No, they
didn't extend it to everywhere else in the world. If you grow grain in America, for example, if you're a Jewish farmer in America, you don't give Truma and Ma'aser. But in those countries,
so
in the Middle East, the Bavel, Ammon, and Moab, and I think also Mitzrayim.
Just around.
So just the ones more or less surrounding those. I mean, Bavel is a little further away, but yeah. Anyway, the point is, so you have. Yes, Syria is actually Syria. That's the most of Syria. Syria, that's another matter that you have, because David conquered it for Kibbush Yachid, so it has the dinim of Truma and Ma'aser to that extent. Anyway, the point is, so you have Truma of Chutz La'aretz. So that, there's no problem with Kohen and Masayeb, but basically, you're allowed to have the Kohen helped out over there, and you give him the Truma as his pay. Because the whole thing is only Jirabon. And so,
one second. You're saying it's not covered by a Kohen. Where it counts?
Okay, but since this whole concept of giving Truma in this part of the world is only Jirabon, then you're allowed to do it. And in fact, for example, Rav Chama, Yoiv Le Shame, Rav Chama, for example, would give his Truma and Ma'aser. He lived in Bavel, so he would give his Truma to his servant who was a Kohen.
The Kohen is not supposed to serve
Israel. Okay, that's another question, whether a Kohen is supposed to serve Israel. Maybe it's different if he was a Talmud, maybe it's different. Rav Chama was a Talmud Chacham, maybe that's different. Okay, anyway, fine. Another din, Amar Shmuel, Truma Chutz La'aretz B'Teila B'Royv. Another din is Truma of Chutz La'aretz can be Bottle B'Royv. Now, Rashi learns that means you can be Bottle B'Royv, and then even a Zor would be able to eat it. On the other hand,
if you want me to
So Rashi learns that we're talking about being mevatalit to the point where even a Zor could eat it. Tosfos disagrees with that and says that no, we're talking about just to the extent that a Kohen would be able to eat it while he's tummy, but not to the extent that a Zor could eat it. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara tells an example. Rabba was a Kohen, mevatal b'roiv, he would do just that. He would be mevatal truma of chutz la'aretz b'roiv, 2-1, but oichalabi made tumase, and then he would eat it during times when he was tummy. So according to Tosfos, that's the only thing you could do with it. According to Rashi, you could just as well even have given it to a Zor at that point. Another example, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, Ki Misrami Lechamra the Truma, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, if he happened to have wine of Truma, here's how he would do it. Have a Rami Trei Nafli the Chula and Bechoda Nafli the Truma. He would start by pouring into a container 2 cupfuls of Chulin and 1 cupful of Truma. So now you have 2-1. And then the shokel chad, then he would take one cupful out of the mixture. Mikan ve'elach, romi chodah, v'shokel chodah, of the 2-1, he would take out one, so now he's left with 2. And then after that, mikan ve'elach, after that, romi chodah, v'shokel chodah, then from there on, he would continue pouring in one of chulin and taking out one from the mixture and keep on doing like that, and then this way, and then this way it's bottle, and this way again, either, well, this way it's bottle, and then again, according to Rashi, a Zor can even drink it at that point, according to Tosfos, a Kohen Tomei would. The Rambam actually has the Rambam actually understands over here that you don't even need to have, you take out the one. The Rambam understands that the bitzel over here, since we're only talking about truma chutlaris, which is only the Rabbanan, the Rambam learns that you actually even can be mevapalit one in one, on a one-to-one basis, not even two-to-one. Because the Rabbanan. The Ravid asks, what are you talking about? Or Gemara Tzuv, he says over here, two-to-one. And the Kesef Mishnah talks about there are different possible gear sites in the Gemara over here that I may not have had. The gear stand is word the shokil chad that you take out one, and then so there's different ways of understanding, and therefore that I may have understood that that one to one is also good. Yeah. Okay, fine. The Amar Shmuel. Then Shmuel says, here's another din that you have another kula in truma.
If the coin in chutz la'aretz gives you truma, what do you do?
So you can be mevachol, like we're saying over here.
You have to mevachol.
I guess, yeah. Okay. I mean, the coin shouldn't be giving it to you. He himself. Yeah, okay.
But maybe he's an Amharic. I don't know. To tell him.
Could be. All right. Well, okay, maybe. I don't know. All right. Well, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, here's another din. Another kula in Truma Chutzlaretz. Truma Chutzlaretz oichel v'hoylech v'achakach makrish. Truma that you're taking from produce that grew in Chutzlaretz, you can first eat, and then you can eat and continue eating, and later on you leave over at the end an amount enough for Truma. In other words, when it comes to produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael, you can't do that. You can't eat kevel. So you have to first take out the 2% for truma and the 10%, almost 10% for my tradition, and so on and so forth. And then once you have the 80% or so that's left, then you can eat the rest. With truma, chutzlaretz, you can do the other way around. You can eat. You can eat. You can eat most of it, and then you leave over 2%, and you use that for truma. You're able to do that.
And the 20%?
Well, it's not even 20%, because you don't necessarily have to take all the different maestros that you take in Eretz Yisrael. You don't necessarily have to take them in the whole forest. But at least
what happened in Eretz Yisrael, if you say, okay, I'm going to designate for truma the last 20%, you cannot do that?
No, you could do that. You could designate, for example, I have this container in front of me full of produce or whatever. Yeah, I can say, for example, the produce over there is going to be the truma. The produce, let's say, on the north side is going to be the truma. Sure, you can do that. And then once you designate the truma and meiser, then you can eat the rest of it. Yeah. But you can't, like this, we're saying with cultivars, you don't even have to do that. At the end, you can designate what's left as truma.
Produce from Israel.
That's different. That's a grew in Israel. That's different. You have to make sure truma. No, that's what I mean. Truma chutzlar means truma of produce that grew in
chutzlar.
Yeah, that grew. Okay. The Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says here is another kula that you have with truma chutzlar. Ein truma chutzlar asura ela b'mishat truma yotze olam migufay. Truma of chutzlar is only asur to a koyin if truma is coming out of his own body, for example, a zav or nidr or what have you. But for example, a koyin with a tummy mess, Shmuel saying, would be able to eat truma of chutzlar. In Eretz Yisrael, that's not true. In the truma of Eretz Yisrael, only a koyin was tar, isn't he? Yeah, but the truma of chutzlar. Vahani mili ba'achila, now continues Shmuel, that only applies to that a koyin who truma yotza olam migufay, for example, a balkeri or what have you, is not allowed to eat truma of chutzlar. Av benegia less than vav. When it comes to touching it, there's not a problem even with that. He's allowed to touch it. He's making a tummy when he touches it. Doesn't matter. You don't have a mitzvah to guard it like you do with truma deraisa. Amar Ravina, and Ravina says, therefore, we have a practical din that comes out of that. Hilkach, therefore, nida koitza chala, therefore a nida outside Eretz Yisrael, when she's working with flour that was made from grain that was grown outside Eretz Yisrael, so she would be able to take off chala, because we just said that even with truma yotzal and megufa, you're allowed to touch the chala, you have truma and chala have the same din for this purpose, she is able to take off the chala, v'oichal l'koyin cotton, and you're allowed to have a young koyin is able to eat it. So why daft a young koyin? It actually gives two explanations. One is because a gadol may well have truma yotza olam migufay. An adult is already old enough to be a balkeri, so therefore, no, a young boy below a certain age can't be a balkeri.
Not a balkeri, but
it could be a zav. It could be a zav, but a zav is a very rare thing. So we're Okay, so that's one explanation, is that an adult, you're often going to have Tumah Yotzal and Megufay, which means in that case, fine. Rashi says, okay, so if he tovol, then he could eat it also. Or the second explanation Rashi brings is the reason why we're mentioning a cotton is because he never had Tumah Yotzal and Megufay, as opposed to an adult. In fact, some of the Mephoshim, for example, a Raivad, understand it to mean that by a Gadol, we don't want him to do it even if he tovels, because what if he makes a mistake and does it without toveling? Whereas by a Kotten, you don't have that problem. You have other explanations of Rishonim, that another idea is a Kotten isn't really high as a mitzvah, so therefore even if he eats chal of tome, it's not such a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So before Bar Mitzvah,
maybe we're talking about under 9 years old, because 9 years old already is able to be a Bar Keri. Yeah. Okay. So you can do that, and then a Kohen cotton can eat it. The Eleka Kohen cotton, suppose you don't have a young Kohen around, Shakwalol Beresh Masa, then what the Nida can do, after having taken off the Challah, she can take that Challah and pick it up with the end of a masa, which Rashi understands a masa to be something like a fork, not a fork actually. Rashi understands it to be like the long stick that you use to put bread in the oven and pull it out, the paddle or whatever, like having a masa bakery or whatever. Yeah. So she put it on the end of that, because at least Rashi says, fine, she touched it to begin with, but at least once she called it challah, she really shouldn't touch it any more than necessary. She is, after all, tummy. To put it on the end of that, the shadya b'tanura, then throw it in the oven to burn it, since you don't have anybody available to eat it. Then she should separate out another piece of challah, in order that the concept of challah should not be forgotten. And then, then even an adult kohen could eat it, because that second one is not really challah, you're only doing it as a zecher for the meat. That's what Ravina is saying. The fact that Shmuel is saying that a tome, even Tumah Yotzal Megufay, is allowed to touch challah, and that a kohen, that if it's not Tumah Yotzal Megufay, is allowed to eat it, we're talking about challah of kuflod. The result is, therefore, that the nida can do that. She can be making a batch of dough, take off a piece, make designated challah, give it to a kohen cotton if he's available. If not, then put it on the end of the paddle over there and put it into the oven to burn, and then take off another piece, and that any kohen can eat.
So by putting it in the oven,
burning it, because you don't have a kohen cotton available to you. Tosfos has a different explanation. Tosfos says that the reason why that we're not talking about that she can't touch it once it's already tummy. What's the difference? Right. So Tosfos just says that practically speaking, this way it's easier to get it into the oven and burn it. So that's not necessarily fair.
It comes out of the oven, it's still coming.
Yeah. What's in it? Yeah. No. We're talking about she puts it in the oven. She puts the challah in the oven to burn it.
If something is coming, you put it in an oven and it burns.
If it burns, once it burns, once not really like a skeleton, the trauma goes away. And by the way, this that we're saying, that you take off another challah, so you actually have, in Shulchan Aruch it mentions, in principle, and here, challah, the Chachamim made the Tachana that you give challah everywhere in the world, not just the countries near Eretz Yisrael. So in principle, actually, you should be taking off two challahs and be doing like we're saying over here, one you burn and the other one you give to a kohen cotton, or a kohen gadol. So why don't we do that nowadays? So one thing is, because the post can point out, nowadays there's another issue. Not only all the kohenim are tamei and we're tamei, but also we don't have any kohenim miyuchasim. Everybody is only a cheskes kohen. So therefore, we're not obligated to take off two challahs. We're only obligated to take off one and
miyuchas.
There's no kohen miyuchas nowadays, yeah. And the name in the Rambam, right, that they didn't have in his time, yeah. Because to be a kohen miyuchas, you would have to have documentary evidence tracing you back to a kohen who served in the business session. Nobody has that now.
So how is Mashiach going to be?
When Mashiach comes, then he'll work it out. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Are they going to be descendants of Aaron and
Cohen? Yeah, of course.
So how are they going to make sure they are?
I don't know. That's Mashiach and Eliyahu and Abizra. Let's not worry about it. Okay, anyway. Fine, let's go on. Further on this topic about Trumas Chutzalaret, the Gemara tells, Rab Nachman, Rab Amram, Rami Bachama, Havu Kahazri Barba. Rab Nachman, Rab Amram, and Rami Bachama one time were traveling on a boat. Rab Amram went out or went up, whatever, in order to go to the bathroom. While he was away, Lafnuyi needs to go to the bathroom. With the COVID, Rashi says he had to go to the bathroom. While he was away, a certain woman came in before them, came in to see them. Itza means a woman. Olaf Kamayo, she went in, she entered in front of them to ask them a shayla. Amrulahu, she asks them, Tomei mes mao shi yitbo v'oichol trumas chutz la'aretz. Can a person who's a tomei mes, is he able to tovel and eat truma of chutz la'aretz? Rashi understands the question to be, she knows that he has to tovel, but does he also need a hair of shemesh? If it was trumas eretz Yisrael, first of all, if he's a tomei mes, he anyway can't eat it. But in general, whatever kind of truma he had, he would have to have not only tevila, but also a hair of shemesh. She's asking, when you're talking with trumas chutz la'aretz, do you need a hair of shemesh as well? Or is it enough just that you tovel and then you can eat it on the spot? Tosfos talks about that. Tosfos says that no, that's not what the question was. The question was actually, do you even need to tovel when it comes to truma chutz la'aretz? Okay, that's good. Okay, I mean, she says, Maushi. Omelet of Nachman the Romi Bachoma. So Rav Nachman says to Romi. So the question is, so according to Rashi, the question is, you definitely have to tovel, but you need a head of shemesh. According to Tosfos, the question is, do you even need to tovel at all? Omelet of Nachman the Romi Bachoma. So Rav Nachman says to Romi Bachoma, why did you need it? V'chi hazah yeshlanu. Do we have hazah nowadays? Look, anyway, we don't have parad yom ha'ashes nowadays. So you don't. So you anyway can't become completely tahor. Why, according to Rashi, the question is therefore why should you need a head of shemesh?
So that's even in our Eretz Yisrael.
Fine. Well, actually, the truth is in the times of the Gemara, actually, it seems from various places in Shas, Tosfos references it over here, that it seems they did have parad yom ha'ashes in Eretz Yisrael, but a person's not going to go all the way to Eretz Yisrael. And a person's not going to go all the way to Eretz Yisrael, be sprinkled with parad yom water, and then come back to chutz la'aretz in order to eat trumas chutz la'aretz. So Rav Nachman is saying, why she's asking whether you need head of shemesh according to Rashi, or whether you need tzvila according to Tosfos. Of course not. Why would you? You anyway can't become tahor in chutz la'aretz. Amalei Rami Bachama, but Rami Bachama
never become tahor now.
Yeah, well, when you don't have parad yom ashes, no. Yeah. Amalei Rami Bachama, so Rami Bachama says to Rav Nachman, okay, maybe you have a good point, but loy leichu shlei l'sava, shouldn't we be concerned for the elder? In other words, Rav Amram is still away. Shouldn't we wait for as covered for Rav Amram? We shouldn't be passing the halacha while he's away. Let's wait till he comes back, and then we can discuss it and pass it. Adahochi also Rav Amram. Meanwhile, Rav Amram came back. Amalahu, and he tells them, Hochi Omer Rav, this is what Rav said in as far as this shayla. Tomei mes tovel v'oichol b'trumas chutz la'aretz. A tomei mes can tovel and then eat trumas chutz la'aretz. In other words, according to Rashi, you're right, he doesn't require hair of shemesh. According to Tosfos, what Rav Amram is saying, you're wrong, he does need tevila. Yeah. Okay. However, the Gemara says, v'les hilchta kavasei. However, the Gemara continues. This isn't Rav Amram continuing. This is the Gemara, the son of the Gemara, continuing that the halacha is not like Rav in that. Because in fact, the Omar Mazutra Mishmei Rav, because we find that Mazutra said, the Girsa over here is not really, De Omar would be a continuation, but it's actually not. It's actually a new statement. So Shetam Kubetz changes it to Omar Mar.
Okay.
It's Omar Mazutra, Mishmei Rav Sheshes. Mazutra says in the name of Rav Sheshes, Tomei Sheret, similarly before we were talking about a person who's Tomei Met. But by the same token, a person who's tomei by a sheret, tovel v'oichol b'trumas chutz la'aretz, he can tovel and then he can eat trumas chutz la'aretz. And again, v'les hilchta kavasei, but again, the halacha is not like him. Again, according to Rashi, meaning that you do need to tovel and you need a head of shemesh. And according to Tosfos, that you don't even need to tovel at all.
And not head of shemesh.
And certainly you don't need a head of shemesh, right?
So what is it?
So that's it. So then, who is the halacha like? I mean, if I remember correctly, the Rambam agrees with Tosfos on that, and that you don't need anything, and therefore that's it. As long as not Tumah Yosa Olam Gufa, as long as Tumah hasn't come out of his body, for example, Keri or Zob or what have you, then he's able to eat it without anything, without anything. Okay, so that's that. So those are the various dinim, those are the various kulos that apply to Tumah Sot Lawrence.
So that's coming back to my question is, you receive produce from Israel.
So then you have. So if truma and ma'aser were taken from it, which hopefully they have, then you're good. If not, then you have to take truma and ma'aser yourself, and then actually that truma and ma'aser has the dinim of truma and ma'aser, real truma and ma'aser.
So you have to get
to good truma. No. So nowadays we don't have any koyanim that are tahor. First of all, we don't have any koyanim that are tahor. Second of all, we don't have any koyanim miyachosim, so you can't give it to a koyan to eat. The truma, what you do is you wrap it up. You wrap it up and you discard it. You throw it away. You wrap it up so it's not mixed in. Fine, but you wrap it up. That's the best you can do because at least it's not mixed in with the rest of the garbage. And you throw it away. Maaser Rishon, you can give to the Levi, no problem. The Trumas Maaser is going to have the same din as the Truma. Maisa Sheni, 4 out of every 7 years, you would have to redeem it on a coin, and then that coin you would eventually have to destroy, because again, you can't take it to your Shalayim and redeem it, since we don't have, and buy food with it, since we don't have a basic mikdash. And then the Maisa Sheni is Mutter to eat. 2 out of every 7 years, you have Maisa Oni, instead, fine, you give that to the Oni.
So that's from,
if you have produce from Israel. But that's only, I mean, you would have, in order for it to be definitely Truma and definitely Meiser, it would have to be that you know that, first of all, you know that Truma and Meiser wasn't taken from it, and second of all, that you know that Chayev, you know that it was grown by Jews. A lot of times, right, you can't be sure if it was grown by Jews or by Arabs. So you take Truma and Meiser to be on the safe side, but you don't have. I mean, you have the same basic dinim with it. But for example, if a Zohar were to eat that Truma, he wouldn't be Chayev Misa necessarily. But you still take it to something.
And you throw it away.
And you do the same thing. You wrap up the Truma and throw it away. And
so when I buy dates from Israel, let's say that's what I have to do.
The better you should make sure. I mean, if they have Ashkocha on them, usually that Ashkocha will also mean that Truma and Meiser. Then in that case, Truma and Meiser would have been taken. That's part of your union. I mean, it may depend which Hashgacha. I don't know. I'm not sure if the Rabbanut is so careful about it with produce that's exported, but whatever. It depends which Hashgacha it has, I think.
Okay.
Fine. Well, in that case, then they're careful that Truma and Meiser isn't taken. Okay. Fine. Okay, next. The Mishnah had said, B'chor Nechol Shana B'Shana Chola. The Mishnah had said, B'chor is supposed to be eaten within the year that it was born, whether Tam or Baal Mum. And the Mishnah had continued, if a mum developed during the year, then you're allowed to keep it until the end, for the rest of the 12 months. So the Gemara says, midka omar. Now, the thing is, when we say shana b'shana, what does it mean? Does it mean a calendar year, or does it mean the year of the animal's life? So midka omar, nele b'mum, says shna say, since the Mishnah uses the expression of a mum developed within its year, that implies lememer de l'shana, not a calendar year, lememer de l'shana de game on you. Obviously, therefore, we must be talking. Yeah, obviously we're not talking about its year. Yeah, year from when this particular animal was born, not calendar years, right? Menahani really. Now, how do we know that? The answer is the Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Kro, because we have a pasuk that we quoted in the Mishnah. Lifnei Hashem alekecha techlanu shana bishana. You should eat the bechor before Hashem, meaning typically when you bring it as a korban. You should eat it year in year. Now shana bishana means year by year, but literally the base means in. So therefore, we can darshan it. Like we can understand it to mean a year that goes into another year. A zui shana shenichnesis b'chavata. Where do you have 1 year going into the next one? That would be heve emes shana shal b'chor. That is the year when the b'chor was born. Because in other words, then part way through the year, it goes into the next calendar year.
Yeah.
In other words, if the animal was born, let's say Nissan, right? So the animal was born, let's say, in Nissan. So halfway through its first year, then halfway through its first year, you're going into another calendar year. That's Shana Shenichnesis B'Chavat.
That's right. The Shana that goes to a Shana.
Right. So that's a Shana that goes into a Shana. Right? Okay. Dvei Rav Tana. Well, obviously, it could happen if it was born on Rosh Hashanah, then yeah, obviously, fine. But yeah, usually. Okay, no, but it's the same thing. The point is, a year is a year. The point is, we learn from this pasuk that it goes according to the animal's years. If it went according to the calendar years, you wouldn't have 1 year going into another year. Dvei Rav Tana. Then in the yeshiva of Rav, or Dvei Rebbe, says in Shittim HaKobetes, Tana, we learn in a braisa, a different thing that we learn from this pasuk. Shana b'shana, when it says year in year, means yom echad b'shana zu, v'yom echad b'shana zu. Meaning, conceivably, you could have that you eat the b'chor after you shecht it as a korban, you conceivably could have where you're eating it 1 day in this year and 1 day in the following. Meaning, one second, limit al bechor shenachal shnei yom v'layla echad. From here, we learn that a bechor can be eaten for 2 days and one night, as we learned from the Zohar. Meaning, let's say, for example, you brought the bechor as a korban exactly on the day before it turns 1 year old. So now you have, you're eating it during the last day of its first year and the first day of its second year. So we learn that from the pasuk, therefore, that a bechor can be eaten for 2 days and then the night in between.
Shana
b'shana. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, Dvei Rav Manolahu. Okay, so according to Dvei Rav, if they're learning from Shana B'Shana that you can eat the Bechor for 2 days, where are they learning the concept that it goes according to the animal years? Maybe it means it goes according to calendar years. I'm talking about that you shechted it at the Korban on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and you're eating it Erev Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Then it says, Yalti Mikodshim. They would answer, we learn it from other Kodshim. Other Kodshim, you go according to the animal's age, because the pasuk has the expression keves ben shnato, for example, a sheep within its year. So therefore, by other kodshim, we know that it goes according to the animal's age, and therefore by the bechor it also would. Okay, but kodshim gufayum menalam. So where do we know it by kodshim themselves? So that's it. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Amar Krok keves ben shnato, because the pasuk says a sheep within its year, shnaso, if it didn't say ben shana, so therefore shnaso shaloi v'lo shana shalminyan olam. So therefore it means you go according to the animal's own year, not according to the calendar year. So therefore we know that by other kodshim, and once we know it by other kodshim, then we know that it also applies to the law. Yeah.
Shana means from the animal's perspective.
Right. By the way, actually, the Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah that there's actually a machloikas amaroyim, whether you count from when the animal is born or from when it's 8 days old, which is the earliest that you can bring it as a korban. And the answer is, the Gemara says, actually, both of them are true. If the animal is a tam, then you count from when it's 8 days old. So the animal, let's say, was born on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The earliest you can bring it as a korban is Ches Nissan, the 8th day. So therefore, you count from Ches Nissen until Ches Nissen the following year. You have to bring it no later than Zion Nissen of the following year. As opposed to, if it's a Baal Mum, anyway, can't bring it as a korban, then you go according to when it was born. Then you would say it was born Rosh Chodesh Nissen. You have to make sure you shecht it. You have to make sure it's shechted by Rosh Chodesh Nissen the following year. Only if it's a tam, right? And if it's a Baal Mum, then from when it's born. Right. Okay. Fine. The Gemara mentions it in Rosh Hashanah. Fine. So that takes care how Rav will know both these dinim. He learns from Shana B'Shana that the Bechor can be eaten for 2 days, and how he knows that the Bechor, you go according to its own years rather than calendar years, he's learning from other korbanos where it says Ben Shasa. Okay, what about the Rav Nechol Shneyam V'layla Acha Menalei? What about Rav who said that from Shana B'Shana we're learning that you go according to the animal's age, not according to calendar years? So where is he learning that? We had Rav and then we had Devei Rav. But again, that's why Shitim Kabbalah changes it to Devei Zev. Okay, whatever it is, the point is, you have Rav said that from Shana B'Shana we learn you go according to the animal's own year. Then we had Devei Rebbe said that from that you learn that you can eat it for 2 days. We said, fine, Devei Rebbe is able to learn about the animal's age from Ben Shnosei. That applies to other kodshim, and therefore it applies to Bechor as well. If Rav is saying that we're using Shana B'Shana to learn that you go according to the animal's age, where does he know that a Bechor can be eaten for 2 days? The answer is, Nafgalaymi uvesorim yaloch kachazei atznufo chesheka yomin. He learns it because the pasuk, when it mentions the Bechor in Parshas Korach, when it says that the Bechor is one of the matnas kohuna, and it says that the meat of it shall be for you like the chest of the animal which is waved, and like the right leg which are given to the kohen. So therefore, kishya akosav l'chaz of a shayk shalshlamim. So in other words, the pasuk is making a hekesh between bechor and the chaz of a shayk of a shlamim, which are given to the kohen. Ma lahalim shnei yomim v'layla echad. Just like over there, a shlamim can be eaten for 2 days and one night, and we know that from other pesukim. Afkan shnei yomim v'layla echad. The same thing the bechor. So we don't need shana b'shana for that, because we can learn that from the hekesh with shlamim. The problem with that. He's using Shana B'Shana to learn about the age of the animal, so therefore he doesn't have it available to learn about Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad, but he learns it from the Hekesh with Shlomim. The problem with that is the Idach. So what would Dvei Rebbe answer to that? They would say, yeah, but Imei Hosam, yeah, but if you're only using the Hekesh, okay, comparing it to a Chaz V'Shoik. But which Chaz V'Shoik? You have Chaz V'Shoik from Shlomim, but you also have Chaz V'Shoik from Toda. Ikolamem a Chaz V'Shoik Shal Toda. Maybe you could say you're comparing it to Chaz V'Shoik Shal Toda, because a Toda is only eaten for 1 day and one night. So therefore, the Tosfos refers to a Gemara that we learned from Zvachim at the end of Ezer Makoman, that we had an argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon over there about this point. Are we learning from Chaz V'Shoik Shal Shlomim or from Toda, Heimenu V'Davach, or whatever? Anyway, yeah. Okay. V'idach, what would Rab answer back to that? He would say, Omakra l'choyiyah. Sure, but the pasuk doesn't just say that it's comparing it to the Chaz V'Shoik. It continues, l'choyiyah, it shall be for you. Meaning, hosif l'chakos of havaya acharis v'b'chor. The Torah is adding to you another being when it comes to the b'chor, meaning another day.
The
yiyah. The word yiyah, yeah. Hosif l'chakos of havaya acharis v'b'chor. So therefore, so that tells us, don't compare it to Torah. Don't compare it to Chaz V'Shoik of Torah. Compare it to Chaz V'Shoik of Shlomim.
Because
of the word l'chayi.
Which is another day.
The idach, what would Dvei Rebbe answer to that? He would say, homo hosim ikolamema ha'yil. The idach, so what would he say? So he would say, that fine. Ha mehasan ikalamemer. Fine. That so fine. When it comes to it, when it comes to an animal that's a tomim and you're bringing it as a korban, sure, I can learn it from there. He would say rather that no, the word of sarim yaloch means from that pasuk we would only know it's referring to tomim. But the fact is, it's in the plural of sarim yaloch. So therefore, hi yaloch. So therefore, he says I'm using the word yaloch for a different word. Limit abchur ba'mum shenoyt melakayin. From those words yaloch, I can't learn from there an extra day. I'm learning from there the whole concept that abchur ba'mum you give to a kayin. Shalom asin alav b'chalat Torah kol. Because otherwise, you don't find anywhere else in the Torah that says such a thing. Loch being the kohen. The whole parasha over there is addressed to the kohen. It's addressed to Aaron and his descendants. So in other words, Devei Rebbe would say that
you can't use it for that.
Right. He's saying that you obviously can't say that a b'chor b'al mum is eaten for shnei yom v'layla. The word of sarum yiloch must be something that both the tam and the b'al mum have in common, namely that they're being given to the kohen. If it weren't for that pasuk, you wouldn't know that it applies to a b'al mum. So therefore, so that's what the pasuk
is. The b'al mum is also giving children
somewhere. We know that. No, we never had that elsewhere. The Rashi says that actually what it would mean is, what the Gemara is asking, when the Gemara is saying, Shaloi Matsinu, Loi B'chol HaTorah Kula, Rashi says what it means is, in other words, that we otherwise never find that you give it to the Kohen. You have this Rivoi from the word Yiloch, that's where we're learning it.
That even the
Baal Mum you give to the Kohen. Tosfos says that's not what the word Shaloi Matsinu, Loi B'chol HaTorah Kula means. It means, in other words, that you never find, that you never, usually you would say, you have a korban that's possible, let's say, and Mizeach not getting it. So the Kohen doesn't get his portion from the Mizeach either. That you should have a concept over here, that you're not giving it to the Mizeach, that's the Baal Mum, but you're giving it to the Kohen, that's a chiddush. That's something unique. And that's why we need the word Yiloch for that. Right, and that's why we need the word Yiloch for that. So I don't have the word Yiloch available to teach me an extra day.
Rashi says that?
That is Rashi versus Tosfos. Rashi says that the Gemara is saying that otherwise we wouldn't have had any source to say you give it to the Kohen. Tosfos says the point is we wouldn't have thought that you give it to the Kohen once you say you don't give it to the Mizeach. Why would the Kohen or Tafel be any more stronger than the Eker? Yeah. Okay. Right. Fine. The Idach, what would Rab answer to that? He would say, Omar uv Sarum. Okay, but the pasuk is of Sarum in the plural. Echad tam ve'echad ba'amum. He would say, okay, but the word of sarum is in the plural, so we have to be saying that, fine, you have a din that applies to the tam and a din that applies to the baal mum. The idach. Okay, because the word of sarum, they, means they.
But why that's good about baal mum?
Okay, because if we have a plural, then pashas means two different cases. But the idach, what would they be the answer to that? He would say, sarum doesn't necessarily mean two cases. It means sarum means means a general plural, yeah, generic plural. The hani b'chodesh, the kol yisro kama, means in general, the b'chodesh that belong to the Jewish people in general are going to go to you. So not necessarily, is the yiloch saying something about the tam and the baal mum. It may be saying something only about the baal mum. It may be saying something only about the baal mum, that you should know that the meat of it is given to the kohen, which otherwise you wouldn't have known. Fine, it's telling you actually that both, it's fine. It's saying that both the tam and the baal mum, the meat is being given to the kohen, but we don't know from there an extra day. And whereas Rav would say we know from there, and that's why you have to learn an extra day from Shana B'Shana, whereas Rav would disagree and say I can learn an extra day from the Hekesh. Once we have a Hekesh, and we have the word Yiloch, I don't hold that the word Yiloch is limited only to the Baal Mum. I can say it refers to the Tam, the teaching us 2 days, and yeah. So therefore, that's the end of it.
Rav would say that.
So in other words, ultimately, so Rav would say, therefore, I don't need the word Shana B'Shana to teach us 2 days. Okay. I'm learning 2 days from the Hekesh. Okay. And therefore, I have the word Shana B'Shana available to teach us about the age of the animal. Whereas Dvei Rebbe, who disagrees with that, will say, I can't use the Hekesh for that. If I have the Hekesh and I have the word Yiloch, but the word Yiloch may be teaching us the Chiddush that you give a Baal Mum to the Kohen, which you otherwise wouldn't know. And you would otherwise have a reason to think maybe shouldn't happen. So therefore, the Hekesh would only tell us to compare it with a Toga, which is only 1 day. Therefore, instead, I need Shana B'Shana to teach us that you could have 1 day of 1 year and one day of the following year. Okay.